There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. And, of course, phone line and the text line open for you, 343-0106. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but you can also leave us one of those talk back messages. If you'll, on the front page where it's streaming there, you'll see a microphone icon. If y'all push that, it records a message, emails it to us right here at the station. So check that out. All right, I mentioned as we opened the show today, last hour, I said hour number two. Super excited about a conversation about not just a big alligator gar, but a really big alligator gar, and a great story to go on with it. And it's a real treat. I think when I saw this was not long after Thanksgiving, and I sent some messages to Keith Dees about this fish he and his son out on a late November fishing trip caught. And you know what? It's to my fault that I have not gotten him on earlier. He's now, well, Keith joins us now. I see you in Newsweek. I see you in publications around the country. You're going to go global. This fish has gone global, man. Welcome aboard. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's this is crazy, man, to have a fish out there and... And for it to be a Newsweek and Fox News, it's just bizarre.
It's funny, though, the stuff that, and I was going to say things that we all as outdoorsmen down here think are regular, but we don't on this because this is an exceptional fish. But yeah, you get people from other parts of the country, they say, oh, holy cow, look at that beast. I mean, a small alligator gar looks big and scary as it is. When you catch one the size that y'all did, then, well, it gets a lot of attention. A lot of people look at that and go, what is that crazy fish? I mean, tell us about, first of all, the superlatives on this. How big is this gar? How big was the one y'all caught?
He was 84 and a half inches long, so a little over 7 feet, and 35 and a half inches around. So his girth was nearly 36 inches, which I'm not a gar expert. I think whenever you first reached out to me, I said, hey, I'm not a gar expert, but
it's huge.
You know, the girth of that fish just blew me away.
I mean, he could wear a pair of 36 Carhartt jeans and they fit him just right.
Absolutely. I mean, bigger around than a basketball. I think a basketball is 34 inches, so that tells you just how big around he was.
Wow. And over 7 foot long, I mean, like I said, even a small gar looks big, and they look like a dinosaur kind of fish. And when they get that big, they kind of are. Any idea how old this gar was? Anybody sampled it?
No, it's the fish is actually still frozen in a friend's walk-in freezer, and my understanding from talking to Tommy Purcell, who is a wildlife fisher, is no definitive way to understand exactly how old that fish is. Once they get a certain age, they start, you know, it's really difficult. It's like aging deer. You're good till a few years, and then it gets really hard after that.
Yeah, between like 8 and 9, you know, you can get from 2.5 to 4.5, but then if he's 8 or 9 or 10, you don't know, kind of thing.
That's right. And the same thing. I mean, that fish could be 30 years old or 70 years old. You know, there's really no way to know.
Holy cow. Well, I love this setup because I mean, it's a story about a tradition and spending time with your kids. But it's also, you know, people would say, well, somebody who breaks the record, and you just said you don't know anything about them. I would say, no, somebody breaks the record is an alligator gar specialist. This is what you've done your whole life, Keith, is fish for alligator gar. that wasn't the plan that day in the Delta.
No, it wasn't. And that's the cool thing about, you know, the Delta is that, you know, we've caught jack crevalle bass fishing, of course, redfish, black grub, all that stuff. And I've caught some alligator gar over the years, bass fishing. I grew up on the Tom Big Beach. You know, we would catch them running jugs or trunk lines or, you know, things like that as a kid growing up. But never anything close to this size. And, yeah, that's a tradition we have. I don't know, 7-8 years. And every year, I guess 5 or 6 years ago, we had a trip on Thanksgiving morning. It was brutally cold, set up for one of those perfect fall trout days. I know you love those too.
Yep.
And literally from daylight when we stopped, I put my power poles down and we doubled and tripled for, you know, 6 hours. And it's like, nothing's ever going to top this Thanksgiving trip.
Right. Yeah, no joke.
And then this happens.
Yeah, little did you know when you said that. I mean, describe this when you hook this fish. I mean, you're not fishing. I mean, you're fishing regular bass or trout tackle, right? I mean, you're throwing a, you know, you're not rigged up for a 7-foot fish.
No, I was throwing a 7-foot, you know, medium action bass rod, typical. You know, throw a chatterbait down there a lot of times in the fall, 15 pounds, single fluorocarbon, normal. You know, just 200 size loose bass reel, nothing crazy. And I think if the water's not in the 50s, this never happens because the fish would have had so much energy.
Right, right.
To be able to fight so much harder and not act maybe the way that he did then. But, you know, it's fun. I'm a bass fisherman. I've fished tournaments. Been fortunate to fish a lot of places, but you know, it's cool to go out and just catch a fish. You know, I love, the only thing I've ever researched a state record on is a redfin pickerel, and probably a lot of people don't even know what they are. That's a, you know, Washington County fish, and mm-hmm. that's probably the only thing I've ever thought about, hey, I might chase that record. So to do this and then have it happen, whether it had been a record or not, just the memory of my son was worth the price of admission, as they say.
Hey, I mean, you're bass fishing. Yeah, you're throwing. I think you're throwing a chatterbait, right?
Yeah,
you're throwing chatterbait trying to catch bass there. And I think I saw a quote. What was it? Tell us. I mean, like, because you didn't. Did you know you had the fish hooked? Because you, I mean, it, your line went slack or something. Then you see a fish swim by. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm real long, and, you know, redfish a lot of times, or chatterbait in general, they eat it from behind. And so a lot of times your line goes slack, you know, you lose that vibration of the bait that it's given. And that's kind of what happened. And so, you know, I just start reeling real fast, trying to catch up to the fish, whatever it is. And I kind of catch a glimpse of a fish going by my trolling motor. And I didn't really think a whole lot about it at the time. It definitely didn't look 7 foot long when it went by, but, you know, as my line kind of gets taut and it's pulling away from me, I'm going, that was the fish that I had hooked. And, so we just kind of followed it around for probably 30 minutes. You know, those jackhammers are about $20 a piece. So I was like, I just want my bait back.
You want your lure back. Yeah.
And then as we follow it along a little bit, and then finally it comes up for a gulp of air, you know, if you've been on the water a lot, you see those gar, and both end do it a lot too, grill do it a lot too, where they mm-hmm. come up and get a gulp of air. And he comes up and gets this gulp of air. I'm like, holy cow, not only is the gar, it's a big gar. I still had no idea it was even close to, you know, being 162 pounds.
It's 7 feet long. I mean, golly. So, I mean,
yeah.
So y'all, and then you get to, I mean, I guess it's maybe even better, though, that you don't know its record book status because you probably gotten a little nervous at that point.
Yeah, I mean, we just followed around, you know, the whole time my son and I, we're laughing and joking, you know, if we can get this thing in the boat, nobody's ever going to believe we caught this, you know. And probably 2 hours in, we finally get the fish, you know, tired enough where we can kind of just pull the boat up and it just swims along. And I thought, man, how in the world are we ever going to get this fish in the boat? And, you know, I've alligator hunted a good bit on the Delta over the years, and I thought maybe if we use one of those techniques where we kind of can get the boat up, get the fish up, and smell a big hook on a flipping stick and get a you know, use it kind of like a gaff, we might have a chance to lasso with this fish. And that's what we did, got him up. And a tow rope is not good to lasso a fish, for the record, because it floats.
Duly noted. So
that was quite an adventure.
It's tough to get it under that gar's chin if the line's floating.
Yeah. And stay away from those rows of teeth that are in that.
Yeah, y'all, there's if you hadn't seen alligator gar, let alone the one that Keith caught, they call them alligator gar for a reason. And they got some chompers for sure. That's the thing. How lucky were you that the way you hooked that fish? Because, I mean, if there had been line in his mouth, it would have been done and over with in a second.
Yeah, it's, to hook it on the outside and you know, it not, even though the fish are really armored, you know, they're not, as far as I know, don't have any sharp spots on them. They have really, really thick slime coat on it. So that helped a lot. And there's just so many things that had to go right to happen. You know, I think I told somebody in one of the articles, you know, any other day, you've been out there in the fall in around Runamuck Island up through there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, heck, on Tuesday, I was trout fishing before, and I mean, you can almost step boat to boat through there. And if that's the case on Thanksgiving Day or the day we hooked this fish, that doesn't happen, because we'd have been all in everybody else's anchor ropes and trolling motors and everything else going in a circle.
Yeah, you had to have some space to work. Did y'all generally time it from the time that the fish hit the chatterbait to the time y'all rolled them into the boat? How long was that?
About 2.5 hours.
Phew, man, that's a full fight there. And you say, I mean, he just eventually gave up, right? He just got tired enough to get that rope on
him. I think the cold water, you know, and the fact that the fish never went to deep water. I mean, he stayed in 2 to 4 foot of water 90% of the time that I had the fish hooked, and never ventured out to go into, you know, the deep hole out there in the middle of the river that's, you know, 16, 18 feet deep.
Yeah.
He wanted to stay on that big bar, and that's what he did.
And 2 hours plus later, you get him. So let's talk about a couple things. Number one, what's next? Because you have unfortunately, I've not been in the position you're in. I don't have a record book fish. So what do you do? How do you have to get certified? You go before what do you do here?
So I didn't, you know, first thing I did when I caught the fish was call the game warden and said, can I keep it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time I had to call him back after we waited on some friends' deer scales, and it was significantly over the existing record. You know, I called him back. I said, hey, man, I'm sorry to call you on Thanksgiving again, but I think I got a record. and so started reaching out, and he said, well, you got to have it certified, weighed, and then you've got to have the fish inspected and signed off on by a fisheries biologist. And it's Thanksgiving, so that creates a whole other list of challenges.
Yeah, they're busy.
We start going, and Mr. Frank Dickey, who's from Chatham, Alabama, who has set the redfin pickerel record and then broke his own record, he had heard about the fish Thanksgiving Day, and Thanksgiving night he got in touch with me, and he said, hey, here's what you got to do. You got to have some certified scale. You got to have witnesses, and then you have to have this fish signed off on it. So there's good and bad of social media. The great part of social media is I had a lot of people reach out to me and go, hey, here's where I think you can weigh the fish. You know, I had a friend of mine, a boat captain in Orange Beach, that the only place that's going to be able to weigh a fish that big is Orange Beach Marina or the wharf. And so, you know, we loaded up the next morning, put the fish in the bed of my truck in a tarp, and bought a bunch of ice, iced him down, headed to Orange Beach, and had him weighed. Once he did officially break the record, I called Tommy and said, hey, I've weighed it, got official weight. Can you meet me on inspect it? And, you know, he met me at Wildlife and Fisheries on the Friday after Thanksgiving. That afternoon, came out and inspected the fish and signed off the paperwork. And so we from there had it notarized by Wildlife and Fisheries the following Monday, sent in to Montgomery Wildlife and Fisheries. They go through their due diligence. Then officially certified as a record. So
it's quite
a lot of paperwork. I didn't realize how much paperwork and how many steps have to be gone through. But it's quite a diligent process.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, because there's only so many of y'all that set the record. Not a bunch of us know that. So, you know, to hear it, that's not going to keep me if I ever get lucky enough to make whatever record. If I catch a long-eared sunfish, I'll go through the process as well and do it. But it's quite the story. Now, of course, the question is going to be, you know where I'm going here. What's next? What are you going to do? I'm sure this fish has to become furniture somewhere, right? It's going to become get some taxidermy done.
Yeah, I finally found someone who would mount the fish down in Florida, and I told my wife, she's like, where are we going to put a 7-foot long fish? And I said, baby, all the kids' pictures are coming off of the couch. That's where that's going. that's a little bit of a challenge right now in my house.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one thing to, you know, get a new bass and put that on the wall, but when you're trying to figure out 7 feet worth of fish and where to put that, but I'm glad you're getting it mounted, and obviously, congratulations on the record. And I think the undercurrent here, too, is the beauty of tradition and the beauty of, you were there, that happened because of a tradition with your son and being on the Delta.
Right.
You know, that's pretty special.
It absolutely is. Whether it, you know, I thought the fish was 80 to 100 pounds. You know, my son is the one who pushed for us to, you know, go weigh this fish, mainly so we would be able to tell the story. I mean, that was the whole reason for going to weigh the fish. It wasn't that we thought we had a state record at the time, and you know, but that doesn't happen if you don't one go enjoy the Delta. The Delta, I've been fortunate to fish a lot of places across the country, and the Delta is without a doubt one of the most special places that I've ever been. Obviously, growing up here, you know, and from one end of it to the other. But the other thing is just being there with my son. I had a friend of mine call me this morning, and he said, "Man, this is so cool." And it's like, but the thing I got out of it was the tradition of going fishing with your son. And if there's one thing that comes out of it, I hope, you know, we have the tradition. I hope that my son, and my daughters have grandkids, I can have a tradition with them, but I hope that someone, you know, goes out, enjoys the Delta, because you never really know what's going to happen on the Delta.
That is for sure. Yeah, and you may end up, you know, having a great time with family and friends, and on occasion come home with a new record alligator gar. Keith, this is real special, and congratulations on, I know the attention's a lot, and it's a lot to deal with on social media, but man, it's you're a great ambassador for the Delta and our area. There's people seeing your fish and your story all over, you know, all over the world, actually, with the web, but all over our country. So, thank you.
No problem. Anything, you know, like I said, if this draws attention to the Delta and the special side of it, and, you know, that's the biggest thing I would like to see out of this is the Delta's a special place, and I hope more people get out and enjoy it.
Well said, Keith. Well said. Thank you, man. Thanks for being on the show with us. And yeah, when you get that, all the kids' pictures and everything moved off the wall and that fish mounted in the house, you send me a picture of that?
It might be a temporary picture, but I will definitely get you a picture.
Yeah, I won't tell your wife. You just take that picture and then send it to me. Keith Thies, thank you so very much, and congratulations again.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.